All right, welcome back, everyone, to the Deep Dive. You know, today we're going deep on a Supreme Court case, one that's, well, it's kind of a classic, you know?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Lehman v. City of Shaker Heights, 1974. This one, it really digs into, like, the whole free speech thing, but on, well, on government property, so it gets kind of tricky.
Yeah, it's a good one. It gets right at those boundaries, right?
Yep.
Like, where does the government's power to kind of, you know, manage their own stuff,
right,
clash with our First Amendment rights?
Yeah, exactly. And this one specifically, it's about, well, can a city, if they're letting businesses put ads on their buses, can they say, nope, no political ads allowed?
Right. You can have, like, the grocery store ad, but not, you know, vote for so-and-so.
Exactly. So that's what we're going to unpack today, this whole idea of non-public forums and why Lehman is, well, it's still so important for understanding these limits on free speech.
Definitely a key case. The facts are pretty straightforward, but then the legal implications, that's where it gets interesting.
All right, so let's set the stage. It's 1970, and we've got this guy, Harry Lehman. He's running for state rep in Ohio.
Wants to get his name out there.
Naturally. And he thinks, hey, those buses in Shaker Heights, they go all over, lots of eyeballs. Perfect for some campaign ads, right?
Sounds like a logical move.
Right. But the city, they shut him down. They've got this policy, and it's been around forever, 26 years apparently. No political advertising on the buses, period.
Wow. 26 years. That's pretty long standing.
Yeah, but here's the thing. They are allowing other ads. I mean, you've got your commercials for stores, even PSAs, you know, the public service stuff.
So it's not a total ban on ads, just a specific kind of ad.
Exactly. So Lehman's not happy about this. He sues, saying, hey, this violates my First Amendment rights, you know, freedom of speech, and throws in an equal protection argument, too, for good measure.
Interesting. So what happened in the lower courts?
Well, the Ohio courts, they actually sided with the city.
Okay, so then it goes up to the Supreme Court. Big stakes.
Yep. And now the big question for SCOTUS is, does this policy, letting some ads on but banning political ones, does that violate the First Amendment?
Right, right. That's the crux of it. But to even answer that, there's a kind of a more basic question they got to figure out first.
Which is?
Are those ad spaces on the buses even a public forum? I mean, that label, it makes a huge difference because it changes how much power the court, you know, how much scrutiny they'll give to any limits on speech there.
Uh-huh. Okay. So Justice Blackmun, he writes this plurality opinion. And his main point is that those buses, those ad spaces, they're not a traditional public forum like, I don't know, like a park or something.
Right. Where you expect people to gather and, you know, express all kinds of views.
Right. Blackmun's saying the city isn't trying to create that kind of space for debate on their buses.
Right.
It's more like a business thing. You know, they're selling ad space to make money.
Makes sense. So since it's more of a commercial operation, they've got more leeway to set rules about what kind of ads they'll take.
Exactly. And the court, they lay out three reasonable interests, I guess you could call them, that this city policy was serving.
Okay, so what were those interests? I'm curious.
Well, first, they want to avoid even the appearance of playing favorites in politics. So by saying no political ads, period, they're like, hey, we're neutral here.
Smart move. No accusations of bias or, you know, favoring one candidate over another.
Right. Second, the court recognizes that dealing with political ads could get messy. I mean, think about it. You got to decide which ones are okay, deal with complaints, you know, it's politics, it gets heated.
Yeah, I can see how that'd be a logistical headache, especially for a city government.
Total headache. And then the third point the court makes is pretty interesting. It's about protecting the captive audience.
The bus riders?
Yep. They're stuck on that bus, often for a while, and they can't really escape whatever ads they're seeing. So the court's like, we don't want to force these people to be bombarded with political stuff they might not agree with.
That's a fascinating point. It's almost like a right not to be subjected to certain messages when you can't easily get away.
Right. And Justice Blackmun, he puts it really clearly. He says, and this is a famous line, a bus is not a Hyde Park.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Basically drawing a line between, you know, traditional open forums and this more contained space.
Yeah. And the court also shut down this argument that Lehman made that because the city's allowing some ads, they got to allow all kinds. They said, no, you can make distinctions.
So the city has some power to curate,
right,
so to speak.
Right. But this wasn't a totally unanimous decision. You know, Justice Douglas, he agreed with the outcome, but he wrote a separate opinion just to really hammer home that captive audience point.
Interesting. What did he say?
He actually compared buses to, get this, private homes. Like, you wouldn't want some random person barging into your living room and shoving their political views down your throat, right?
Makes sense.
So he's saying bus riders deserve that same kind of consideration. They shouldn't be a captive audience to political messages they didn't sign up for.
I see. So he's really emphasizing that element of, you know, forced exposure. But then there's Justice Brennan. Right. He had a whole different take.
Yeah, Brennan wrote this really strong dissent, and three other justices joined him. They totally disagreed with how the majority saw those bus ads.
So what was Brennan's argument?
He basically said that once the city started accepting any ads, even just the commercial ones, they'd created a public forum, even if it wasn't a wide open one.
And his point being?
Well, he argued that once the government opens a forum, any forum, for speech, they can't discriminate based on the content unless they've got a darn good reason. And he didn't think the city had one.
Yeah, he really didn't like that the city was cool with ads for, like, soda and whatever. But political candidates, nope, off limits.
Interesting. So he saw that as, like, the government deciding what people are allowed to hear, what messages are deemed appropriate.
Exactly. He called it paternalistic. And he was worried about this idea getting used to silence, you know, unpopular opinions or minority viewpoints. Makes you think, like, couldn't they have made some, I don't know, some rules for political ads like they probably do for the commercial ones to make sure they're not, you know, misleading or whatever?
Right, right. Address that whole administrative headache thing. Mm. And Brennan also pointed out this kind of ironic thing. Commercial speech, which actually gets less protection under the First Amendment, you know, compared to political speech, that's allowed. But political speech, which is supposed to be at the heart of the First Amendment, that gets banned.
Yeah, that's a pretty stark contrast. He's basically saying they got their priorities flipped.
Exactly. He saw it as straight up content discrimination.
Yeah.
And yeah, he was worried about what kind of precedent that sets.
Makes sense. So zooming out a bit, why is Lehman still so important all these years later?
Well, like we've been talking about, it really helped to like solidify this whole idea of a non-public forum. And that's a big deal in First Amendment law.
Yeah, because it basically says if the government isn't purposely making a space for, like, everyone to speak their minds, like those bus ads, then their rules about what you can and can't say there, they just have to be reasonable and not biased against any particular viewpoint.
Right. So it's a much easier bar for the government to clear than if it was a traditional public forum, like a park.
Right. Right. So, Lehman, it really emphasizes the importance of figuring out what kind of forum you're dealing with. Traditional public forum, designated public forum, or non-public forum, because that determines the level of legal scrutiny that's applied.
Yeah, exactly. And that captive audience argument, that's a big takeaway, too. The courts, they're generally pretty careful about situations where people are basically forced to see messages, especially political ones, that they can't easily avoid.
Right, right. It's like you shouldn't have to just sit there and take it, you know?
Yeah.
And that idea has come up in a bunch of other First Amendment cases since then.
It has. So, you know, for all you law students out there listening, Lehman really shows that not all government property is automatically a free speech free-for-all. They have some control, especially when it's more of a business type situation.
Right. But like we said, Lehman doesn't give governments a blank check to just ban political speech everywhere. It's specifically about these non-public forums.
Right. And even though it wasn't the main issue in Lehman, you know, those dissenting justices, they were worried about this idea, the slippery slope argument.
Like, where does it end, right?
Yeah, like, what's to stop the government from saying, no political talk in libraries, or no political buttons at the airport? So it really highlights that constant tension in First Amendment law between protecting free speech and letting the government run things effectively.
And all that in the context of, you know, advertising on buses.
Who knew it could be so complex, right?
Right. In this case, it makes you think about, well, how do these ideas apply now? I mean, it's been a while since 1974. The way we advertise public spaces, it's all so different now, especially with the internet and everything.
So true. So much has changed, but the core questions are still relevant.
Definitely. Like, how do the principles in Lehman play out with, say, government-run websites or social media platforms, things like that? How do you define public forum in the digital age?
Lots to think about. All right, so let's wrap up our deep dive into Lehman. The main takeaways here are that bus advertising, that's a non-public forum, and in those kinds of forums, the government can limit speech as long as those limits are reasonable and not picking sides, and that captive audience concept, that was a big factor in the decision.
Yeah, those are the key points. And one last thing for everyone to ponder. How would Lehman apply to newer forms of communication, things that didn't even exist back in 74? It's a question that's still being debated and figured out today.
Great food for thought. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive, everyone. We'll be back soon with another case, another story, another chance to, well, dive deep.
See you then.
See ya.